Chapter 3. First Flashback.
Danny's two-wheeled machine was a beautiful masterpiece to behold. Pleasingly sculpted, aerodynamic shell was painted cherry red everywhere save the bold canary lightning bolt flashing across the side. In the nearly dark, overstuffed garage, it looked poised for action, like a toy vehicle come to life. Danny surveyed his baby once more, the dirt bike of his dreams, before making the final adjustments. Surrounded by his Led Zeppelin and Who posters on the walls and crouched over the bike, Danny prepared to tighten the lug nuts that fastened the front tire to the bike's frame.
"Hand me the wrench, will you, Rob?"
he asked his younger brother.
Sure,
Robert replied, handing him the closest tool in his reach. Without looking, Danny grabbed it, and then after a confused pause, turned back to his kid brother.
"This is a screwdriver, buddy."
"Oh, yeah," the 12-year-old Robert sputtered.
"I knew that. It's just I wanted you to have it as quickly as possible."
"Remember what I told you," Danny began.
"Accuracy, not speed."
"Right," Robert said, nodding solemnly. Danny's small transistor radio sat on a shelf nearby, and Phil Collins was singing about an invisible touch. Robert used to think he was saying invincible touch. Noticing his brother was losing focus, Danny briskly snapped his fingers in front of his face and instructed,
"You need to pay attention to what I'm doing, Robert. You have to learn how to take care of your own bike that Dad bought. I'm not going to be around forever."
Another pause as he stared his kid brother down with wise eyes.
"Well?"
he asked, trying not to lose his patience.
"Oh, yeah, right,"
Robert again stammered and then retrieved the correct tool this time. Danny agreeably grabbed the adjustable wrench, fidgeted with its settings to gauge the right gap, and then went to work. Suddenly, a commercial blared from the radio, interrupting the Genesis hit.
"When you need your flaws to look their very best, Comet is better than the rest."
"Hey, Danny,"
Robert said, a hint of nostalgia in his voice.
"Remember this?"
He began singing a parody of the jingle.
"Comet, it makes your mouth turn green."
Recognizing the memory, Danny smiled and joined in the melody.
"Comet, it tastes like gasoline. Comet,"
Robert continued,
"makes you vomit."
Now the brothers sang together.
So try some Comet and vomit today.
They both laughed like naughty schoolboys. Robert couldn't remember the last time they acted this way, like they were little kids again. It felt wonderful. It was stiflingly hot in the garage, and Robert noticed Danny needed to repeatedly wipe his forehead with its dripping perspiration. Sensing his need, and before his older brother could cue him, Robert snatched a torn rag by his feet and held it out to Danny. Immersed in his work of attaching the new tire, Danny briefly peered up at the outstretched offering.
"What's that for?"
he asked.
"For your forehead,"
Robert responded.
"You're sweating."
"Dude," Danny said, almost laughing.
"Look a little closer. It's a dirt rag. I already used it earlier to wipe off some oil from the motor."
Robert inspected the rag and saw what Danny meant. There was a thick, oily smudge streaked right down the center when he opened it. Robert threw the rag down again on the garage floor in disgust. He desperately wanted to make his big brother happy, but it seemed he couldn't do anything right.
"What's the matter, man?"
Danny asked, continuing to tighten the lug nut before moving on to the back tire.
"Nothing."
It was Robert's usual reply.
"Nothing,"
Danny repeated, teasingly using Robert's squeak of a pre-adolescent voice.
"Nothing doesn't sound like nothing to me. It's just,"
Robert began,
"since you got into this hobby a few years ago, you don't have much time for me."
"What are you talking about?"
Danny asked.
"We still hang out."
"Not as much as before,"
Robert challenged.
"Not since you entered high school."
Danny shuffled his crouch over to the rear tire to make the same adjustments he had made on the front. After a few turns of his wrench, he finally responded, almost quixotically.
"High school's a whole new ballgame."
Robert dared himself to answer with the first question that popped into his young, still-forming brain.
"What's that supposed to mean?"
Danny's response was immediate.
"It means I've got a lot of other things going on now, man,"
he said, his patience gone.
"A lot more tests and quizzes. A lot more homework. I need to start looking at colleges soon, not to mention girls."
Robert's eyes betrayed him on Danny's last word. He was almost jealous at the number of dates his brother brought home each weekend. At only 12, Robert wasn't necessarily interested in going on those dates himself, but he was jealous of the amount of time and attention his former playing partner was giving them. Robert missed the days of reenacting scenes from Star Wars during the weekly sleepover party. They would hide under the blankets of Danny's huge bed, pretending it was the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon. Danny would be Han Solo and Robert would always be Luke Skywalker. Even though Luke was ostensibly the de facto hero of the film, Robert would want to play Han every once in a while, to no avail. Danny reasoned it was because Han was older than Luke, so their chosen roles made sense. But Robert knew that the real reason was because Han was cooler, and Danny didn't want to surrender his character. Remembering playing with his brother under the cloak of darkness gave Robert goosebumps. It was like their shared secret, and although it was only a few years ago, it felt like a lifetime.
"What are you thinking about, buddy?"
Danny asked, breaking another one of Robert's daydreams.
"Nothing."
He again jokingly mocked his brother's chosen favorite word.
"Your head's always in the clouds."
He added in a way that Robert knew Danny wasn't mocking him, just making a matter-of-fact observation. His mention of clouds got Robert thinking of Cloud City and Star Wars again, so he revealed what was on his mind and told him of his childhood memory.
"I was just thinking about sleepovers we used to have,"
he said.
"You know, playing the old toys and pretending we're Han and Luke."
Danny cocked his head back to laugh, and it set off a little heartache in Robert. Noticing this, Danny pulled himself back.
"I remember. We used to pretend to strap on jetpacks and rocket downstairs Saturday mornings to eat cereal and watch cartoons."
"Yeah," Robert replied like an excited child. His cheeks flushed red as Danny smiled.
"We'll still do those things, Robert."
"Sure we will,"
Robert answered, unconvinced.
"It seems you're interested in other sleepovers."
Danny looked at Robert, puzzled, until Robert filled in the blanks.
"I like Gina," he said. "You've always had a thing for redheads."
Ignoring the mention of his latest conquest, Danny tried to reassure his brother.
"You know,"
he said,
"we're still best friends."
Robert looked at his feet, not wanting to make eye contact.
"I know. Remember what I taught you?"
Danny asked.
"Accuracy, not speed?"
"No, the other thing."
"Oh, yeah,"
Robert said, reaching out his right hand, palm down. Danny reciprocated, placing his right palm on top of the back of Robert's hand.
Friends to the end,
they said in unison.